You're listening to SBS News.
A new study shows young Australians experiencing poverty and disadvantage are at greater risk of being excluded at school than their peers. Led by Flinders University, the study looked at more than 3,513 and 14-year-olds in about 100 schools across the country. Those adolescents living in poverty confirmed their experiences of social exclusion, bullying, and lack of support from teachers. Jerry Redmond is a professor at the College of Business, Government and Law at Flinders University and the lead author of the study. He says poverty and disadvantage for young people can directly affect the rest of their lives.
We looked at this in relation to their feelings about their own life satisfaction, and we find that these experiences of exclusion by teachers and by peers flows into lower levels of life satisfaction, which has implications then for their future mental health. So the main point of our study was to point to the relationship between poverty or material disadvantage and experiences at school, which is not something you should expect would happen, but it seems to happen on quite a large scale.
The study drew up a scale of family affluence or poverty by asking the children questions about how many cars or computers they had, whether they had their own bedroom, and if they had been on a holiday in the last year. There were also questions about personal possessions such as pocket money, clothes, and mobile phones. Mr. Redmond says those who scored low on these indicators tended to report more bullying and less teacher support. Diana Harris is the acting CEO of the Australian Research Alliance for Children and Youth. She says it's no surprise vulnerable children are more likely to be victims of bullying.
When you talk about school exclusion, people tend to think about kids being bullied because they haven't, you know, because their ears stick out or because they haven't got the latest designer kit or anything that, you know, makes kids stand out from the herd in some way. What we need to be thinking about and what this study really shows is that social exclusion is not equal opportunity. Social exclusion happens to the most vulnerable children.
There are several risk factors for social exclusion. The study found adolescents who live with a disability, care for a family member, speak a language other than English at home, or identify as Indigenous are all more likely to be living in poverty. Mr. Redmond says this can lead to a number of negative experiences at school.
When we asked about bullying, so we asked about other kids ganging up on me, other kids spreading lies about me, talking about me behind my back, ignoring me, these kinds of questions. We found that kids tended to report that much more than other kids who weren't poor.
And kids living in poverty also believe teachers aren't looking out for them.
When we asked them about their relationships with teachers, so we asked them about to answer questions, to agree with statements like, "There's at my school, there is a teacher or another adult who really cares about me, who believes I'll be a success, or who listens to me when I have something to say." And they tended to score much lower on those scores.
Ms. Harris says the onus is often put back on the family or the student to deal with those feelings.
There's a lot of talk in some of the programs that you'll find about, you know, resilience and mental strength and anti-bullying, and they're all about putting the responsibility onto an individual. Be stronger, shake it off, laugh it off, you know, be tougher. And it completely misses the point that these kids have less resilience for the very good reason that they've got more stresses in their life.
Of the 38 countries in the Organisation for Economic Cooperation and Development, Australia ranks mid-table for child poverty. Mr. Redmond says it's more common than people might expect in Australia.
Some of them talked about how poverty meant that they didn't have enough food in the house when extra relatives arrived, old food went. Others talked about how they got all their clothes from op shops. And what they're talking about is, you know, the kind of poverty that you don't expect to see in a rich country like Australia, yet it clearly exists. And there's lots of evidence, for example, that hunger exists among children.
The study is calling for reforms and stronger economic, social, cultural and political policy making to ensure better futures for all young people. Mr. Redman says increasing income support is a start.
We know that when governments give families more money, poverty goes down. This happened during the COVID crisis, during the early part of the COVID crisis, when we had the JobKeeper allowance and we had the coronavirus addition to job seeker payments. This resulted in poverty overall going down in Australia.
Though Mr. Redman has cited recent changes directing more funding to disadvantaged schools, he says it's too early to tell whether this has had an effect. Ms. Harris says the issue cannot simply be resolved with better school funding.
Schools already do a lot, probably far more than they ought to do or ought to be asked to do. School can be an incredible protective factor in a young person's life. We've all heard stories where people talk about an inspirational teacher whose care and commitment to that young person was life-changing. But it's not something that schools should be expected to do, and it's not something that means we can shake off the responsibility. These things are deep systemic forces in play, and they need a whole of government and a whole of society approach.
And Mr. Redman says governments can't shy away from tackling child poverty.
When you're thinking about what goes on at school, you need to also think about what goes on beyond the school gates. So you can't keep that outside of what goes on inside a school. And in the case of this particular study, what we're really concerned about is the impact of poverty on young people's well-being within school.
Ariana Lucente, SBS News.